Blog Talk Radio.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition.
It's Dale Earnhardt with a lead.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The chase for the NASCAR Spring Cup returns October 21st through 23rd. Call 1-877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening from Talladega, Alabama. I'm Tim Spain, alongside my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. From up there in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Mr. Stephen Wilson. But before we get everything going, let's bring the Reverend into the show. Our loyal Reverend from out there in Seattle, Washington, Mr. Reverend Joe. Let's get the invocation going and everything. Let's bring Reverend Joe with a pit stop. Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. A little bit tired, wore out, and sore from that ride up there to Darlington and back, but we're going to make it. I took off work today to sort of get all the clothes washed and dried up and get the radio show ready, and I'm headed back to work tomorrow.
But she did make Susan go to work, right?
Yes, sir. She had to go to work.
Okay, I don't want to give her any bad habits.
I heard that, Reverend.
Shall we get this thing started?
Yes, sir. Crank it up, Reverend.
Lord, we come before you, and we thank you for another great racing weekend and for a safe trip back and forth for Tim and all that went. We ask you to be with us all. Continue to comfort the France family, and please, Lord, be with all of those who suffered losses and illnesses. Keep us all healthy and strong. We know that your son came to this earth to die for our sins so we wouldn't have to. So we ask you to protect all our military, everyone that wears a uniform to protect us. Be with them all and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff.
Oh.
Reverend Joe, as always, great invocation. I say it every week, and I will continue to say it every week. But you got the floor, bud. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website.
Yes, they can. My website is ontrackwithjesus.org. My email address is ontrackwithjesus@AOL.com. You can call me at 951-232-7630. And we're on Facebook at Rev Joe Bubba Cup.
Reverend Joe, thank you very much. Tell Miss Betty we said hello, and y'all be safe out there this week. We'll talk at you next Tuesday, bud.
Talk to you later.
All right, see you, Reverend. Our good friend, Reverend Joe. Stephen Wilson, what's going on, bud? Y'all make it home okay?
Yeah, I made it home all right. And I know you said that every week I tell you that it's hot up here in the Richmond area, but it's not hot today. I'm not missing anything. I'm not a stiff. I haven't got yelled at today by anybody. Have I covered everything?
I think they found everything. I'm not sure. And I've not been yelled at nobody either. I actually slept late and still a little sore for the ride back from Darlington. But I'm like you. I haven't been yelled at. I haven't been trying to find something that got lost. So I think we're back to reality, Steve.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's a good day. That's a fairly good day when all those things come together.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I seen where you tweeted out yesterday evening, and I want to just go ahead and say it here live on the radio, a big thanks to Kerry Tharp and their entire staff up there at Darlington Raceway for the Bojangles Southern 500 allowing us to come up there and cover the race. We had an awesome time. Kerry and him put on a really great show, Steve. I think Steve might have dropped. I don't hear him. So just to let everybody know, the number to call in is 215-383-3631. I'm coming to Spain live from Talladega, Alabama. And my good friend, CEO, Steve.com. Steve, what?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if we could have your attention, please. We are now joined by our runner-up finisher, Cole Custer, driver of the number 00 Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. Cole, certainly a fantastic race, heck of a race out there. Just talk a little bit about your race this afternoon.
Yeah, we had a really great truck. Just played our strategy pretty well. We were close on fuel, but obviously we were going to make it. But just not the ending we wanted. We had a really fast truck. Just another one that we got really close here, but didn't go all the way, I guess.
Okay, we'll open it up for questions for Cole. If you have a question, please raise your hand and state your name and affiliation. Any questions?
A lot of great people that was out there this past weekend.
It was good to see this weekend come together.
As they have for the second year in a row.
Stayed about even. He might close up a little bit. And then going in the second last corner, I drove pretty normal from what I had done in the past there the whole race. And I guess he just drove in a little bit deeper and hit us in the back. And that just got us off line and made us maybe pinch the corner going into the last corner. And then since I had to make a sharper corner, I had to slow down a little bit more, and he just decided to run into me again. And that turned us into the wall, and then he hit me again in the door, and that sent us into the wall. So that was about it.
Any additional questions?
Cole, did you play football in high school? There was a big debate in here whether you should have maybe hit them low instead of high.
I played freshman football, but that was definitely my biggest problem. I would not get low enough, so yeah. I wasn't expecting him to duck at the last second.
Is this finished between you two? Has NASCAR said anything to you, or is this something that could continue on as the season progresses?
We talked to NASCAR. I just talked to them for about 20 minutes in there, and I don't know. It's up in their hands. It's what they want to do, what they want to accept, I guess, what's right in this sport. But it's pretty much balls in their court. I can't do much now. And for retaliation, I'm not looking at that right now.
Okay, sorry. Could you say what you mean by when you say right in this sport? I mean, there's certainly no doubt about the fact that this is a terribly exciting race year after year. This is not the first time that something like this has happened. And I think it's in large part responsible for the huge turnout that comes out here. It's really exciting racing. But do you think it's not the right kind of racing?
I think the last few years it has been. This year I don't think it was. But it's just, when you don't give a guy a chance, what's the point of racing? I couldn't do anything else. He gave me no choice, no chance to do anything. So it's not racing in my book. But he's shown time again throughout the year that he doesn't have much respect, just through different situations when he's under people. Instead of spinning himself out when it's his fault, he'll correct into them and ruin their day when it should have been his day ruined. So it's just, there's no respect in this garage area right now. I mean, we had another fight right outside of our truck that didn't even involve us, but it's just a joke right now, really. But just, we'll see what happens.
Okay, we'll take one more question.
So how's this going to change the way that you race the truck now?
I'm just not going to give him any breaks, really. If he decides to do anything, or if he makes my day any harder than it has to be, then I'm going to, voice my opinion, I guess. But that's about it.
Okay. Cole, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Stephen, you and I were in the media center there at Darlington, actually watching the end of the truck race up there in Canada, and we was like, whoa, I mean, John Hunter Nemechek just turned his steering wheel completely left and just kept Custer up against, kept him just in the grass up against the wall, and I'm sure Custer was turning his to the right trying to get out. I mean, it was a big mess, Stephen, and I've been waiting on NASCAR to come down with a penalty, but I text you earlier, we have not heard nothing yet, correct? I got you now, Stephen.
Hey, yeah, sorry. This thing disconnected on me when you were talking a little bit earlier. I had to reconnect back in. But yeah, we were watching the end of this, and obviously Cole was not too pleased with John Hunter Nemechek there at the end. John Hunter Nemechek was running second, coming there to the white flag there in overtime at the entire Motorsports Park. Obviously upset, visibly upset when he parked the truck, got out of the truck, and he even got onto the track, and we saw the end result of that. Even when he got into the media center, but John and Shaq did win that, both of them. We haven't seen anything come out of NASCAR as of yet. It's going to be one of those situations that it's going to be hard to tell what NASCAR is going to do. I would suspect that NASCAR may look at John Hunter Nemechek for some type of rough driving, and I would think that they would look at Cole for some kind of behavior penalties, or at least going on to a hot racetrack. Even though the checkered flag had fallen, John Hunter Nemechek was out there celebrating, or waiting for an official call to be made. It still is considered a hot racetrack. We've seen it time and time again with Jennifer Jourdain. We saw it with Trevor Bayne, both at Dover, just days apart on the same weekend. We've seen it with other drivers too. Danica Patrick also with NASCAR looking at drivers doing the same thing. Then you go back to the incident with John West Townley and Spencer Gallagher just a few weeks ago at Gateway Motorsports Park, where they had their incident. I think NASCAR will take a look at that also, and maybe even use that as a precursor as to making their decisions in what happens to both of those drivers, whether it be points and fines or just a fine or points. You know, we'll have to wait and see what happens tomorrow. And, you know, that'll come out hopefully fairly early, usually sometime around the 10 o'clock time frame is what we've been seeing from NASCAR here recently.
Yeah. And again, listeners, the number to call in is 215-383-3681. I'm Tim Despain alongside my good friend Stephen Wilson from SpeedwayDigest.com. Stephen, before coming up here on the bottom of the iron, we've got President of Richmond International Raceway, Mr. Dennis Bickmeyer, coming up. Going to talk about the big race weekend there. Let's listen to a little bit about what John Hunter Nemechek had to say in the media center after the controversial win there in the National Camp Royal Truck Series in Canada.
We're going to go ahead and finish up our post-race media availabilities for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Chevrolet Silverado 250. We're joined now by our race winner, driver of the number 8 NEMCO Motorsports Chevrolet, John Hunter Nemechek, and the race-winning crew chief, Jerry Kennan. Gentlemen, congratulations on the win. John Hunter, talk to us a little bit about that finish.
It was exciting, to say the least. I can't thank all my guys enough for all the hard work that they put into this truck. We were fast all weekend. Second in practice, I made a mistake qualifying, didn't make it to the second round. So we knew that we had our work cut out for us today. But our whole talk this morning was about strategy, and we pitted there early and had to save enough fuel to get to the end. And once I got back to the start-finish line to be able to do a burnout, we were out of fuel. So we definitely cut it very close, but I can't thank all my guys enough, all the masterminds behind this. My dad, he puts his heart and soul into this to make this program go, and it's very appreciated from my end to him, and I can't thank him enough.
Jerry, he touched on a little bit about strategy, and I know he ran out of gas there at the end of the race or after the race. So clearly you guys were cutting it close. Talk a little bit about coming into the race, knowing this track is really tough on equipment, what you were doing to prepare the vehicle and the calls you're making during the race.
Well, the new angle is the caution clock, and our plan was to try to pit before it ran out, and you had to be in a certain spot on the racetrack. So that's what happened. And then the next time we just topped off, and I said, you're going to have to save because – we didn't have enough for a green-white checker, and then there was enough yellow that we saved it, and we were on the same amount of lap tires as they were, and I think our truck ran a lot better in clean air. It was hard to pass, you know, and when we were in back, we weren't as fast, and then once we got to the front, it was good to go. We've been fast all weekend, and we're just looking forward to going get out of here and go and try to repeat at Chicago.
All right. We'll open it up to questions for John Hunter Jerry. We'll go to Norris.
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you ever won a race like that before?
No, but I've lost to many like that before.
When you say many, more than two?
I've lost four or five like that.
Really?
Yes.
And so you kind of feel like it was your turn to come out on top.
I wouldn't say it's my turn. It's hard to say, but like I said, my guys gave me a great truck there at the end. I know that Cole and I were very competitive. Very competitive racers, and we would have done anything in the same position to make sure that we got that win.
Were you expecting that he was going to take a run at you? apparently you ducked just at the operative moment. He was about to take your head off.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was going to come over there and do that, but there's a lot of tempers that fly. It's an emotional sport. It's a competitive sport. That's just how it goes sometimes.
Have you ever been in a fight before right out in front of everybody? I mean, we're not talking about pushing people around back in the garage or something.
No, I have not.
This is right on national television.
Yeah, it was.
You talk about your dad. Your dad has been one of the great contributors to NASCAR racing over the years. A guy who's hung in there. Not with a lot of sponsorship, not with a lot of money. What's he meant to you as far as being an inspiration and someone who's guided your career?
Words can't describe how much he actually means to me. He's put his heart and soul and everything that he's had to get my career going. We don't have the sponsorship that some of these other guys have, but from all of our guys, they're all experienced. They all know what's important. We work very hard in the shop. I'm there every day with the guys working as hard as I can, digging deep, turning wrenches. Whatever our whole team has to do, we do to get to the racetrack each week and make sure that we have the best race truck that we can provide before it leaves the shop. And there's a lot of late hours that go into it. There's a lot of weekends that we have to work, but it goes back to people and how much they want it and dedication. And we have a great group of guys around us.
Okay. Are you in the chase?
Sorry. Yes.
Okay. So it's not a matter. So now he's going to be coming after you the next race because he's got to win. Are you thinking ahead that far? And by the way, how did the meeting with NASCAR go?
I can't really comment on that, but it was good. We're always looking forward to the next race, getting to the next race. We're just going to take it one race at a time and do our best. And if circumstances happen, they happen. But we're looking forward to taking this momentum to Chicago, running good there, and then taking it into the chase and being in the final four at Homestead.
Take one more question here for John Hunter.
So I wanted to talk about the last restart. It looked like you spun the tires a bit and then battling hard with Gallagher. So did you think you were going to be able to get back to him?
I didn't know if I was going to be able to get right on his bumper in turn eight. But my guys, we adjusted on the truck correctly all day, made the right calls on pit road, and we had one fast truck. I didn't know how long it was going to take to get by Gallagher, but I set him up in 5A and 5B. I was able to drive underneath him going down the backstretch. And once we got by him, I had clean air, and I was able to drive right up to Cole. It went from there.
Gentlemen, congratulations on the win. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Stephen, just like I mentioned earlier, you know, you and I were in the press box there at Dalton Raceway, and we got to watch the end of it. And like we all tell our listeners, our opinions only does not reflect nothing about NASCAR. But if I was John Hunter Nemechek, I would probably want to go see me a doctor and see if I can get an exercise. I would put it in the back of my head and watch my back.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be hard for, you know, for him and going forward, I think. But, you know, Chicagoland, which is their next race, is not really going to be one of those racetracks. So I think that Cole Custer is going to be wanting to be thinking about payback at all. It's a wild, fast racetrack out there, and it's a relatively dangerous racetrack in that aspect. You know, you have to think ahead. You've got to think smart about yourself. They do have one last race before they go into their chase scenario, obviously, but, you know, NASCAR drivers thinking ahead, too, sometimes they, you know, you have to be kind of smart about sometimes when you get back or, you know, give that little bit of payback. The NASCAR can't go on truck series. They're obviously, they're going to go to Martinsville, which is a racetrack that, you know, we've seen the bumping and the banging and the Tempest Flare and the Chrome Horn come out. We saw that with Logano and Kenseth too, but you also have to be careful at the same time where, you know, suspensions. You know, Custer doesn't want to do anything that could potentially put him out, you know, that deep in the chase, especially if he's contending and he's running up front. So, you know, there's a lot of scenarios where he's going to have to keep his head in the game at the same time. So, you know, Cole Custer would probably like to, you know, think about that payback, but at the same time, he has to think about the, you know, where he needs to be in the next few weeks or, you know, in Chicago or, you know, obviously he's already in the chase, but getting out of Chicago in the next several races that they're going to run through, if they get to a point where they're at Martinsville and, you know, he's running up and he's running good, where he has an opportunity to go even farther into the chase or even make it to Homestead Miami and run for that championship contending race right there where they're going to lock a handful of drivers in. He doesn't need to do anything that's going to damage his chances where it's going to put him in a suspension, obviously. So, you know, there's a lot of variables into it, obviously. we always, you know, we'd like to see, you know, the bumping and the banging and the chrome horns come out, sure. But, you know, at the same time, these drivers have to be very smart sometimes about what they do and run their races the way that they run them. Sometimes they got to run them clean, sometimes they got to run them smart. And, you know, maybe if Custer's in a situation on the flip side of that, it's, you know, he does get to a place like Martinsville and he's not doing very good, and he's, you know, not really, maybe, I guess, per se, not really worried about it. You know, maybe it's something that he may think about, just, you know, getting into the back of him and, you know, just saying, hey, remember, you know, back at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, you know, I'm still thinking about that, you know, or something like that. But, you know, just enough to, you know, give him, shake him up just a little bit and remind him that, you know, I'm still thinking about that, but, you know, not anything that's going to cause any harm, but just enough to, you know, shake him up a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I, Stephen, we've been running sport for a while. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And let's take a little short break before the bottom of the hour here. We have President of Richmond International Raceway, Mr. Dennis Beckmeyer, will be joining us. We're going to take gonna take about five here, pay some bills. We'll be right back. We're live from Talladega, Alabama. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. Be right back in a minute.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond, rolling north on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side. Tearing down that highway like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde.
Right beside me, it's the party that disappointing ending for this modern day Bonnie and Clyde.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition.
It's Dale Earnhardt with a lead.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The chase for the NASCAR Spring Cup returns October 21st through 23rd. Call 1-877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.
We're back live from Talladega, Alabama. I'm Tim Spain, alongside my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. And at this time, we would like to bring in President of Richmond International Raceway, Mr. Dennis Bickmeyer, into the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Dennis, how you doing this evening, bud?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, Stephen and I, we attended Darlington this past weekend. We both had to ride through storms and everything, but we made it up there safe. We got back home, got a radio show going. Now we got you on. We want to talk a little bit about Richmond. And Dennis, I want to thank you for coming on, and I'm going to hand you over to Stephen first.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Dennis, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. 25 weeks down, one last to go coming into Richmond this week. A lot of different chasing areas going on already. We've got a couple of drivers sitting right around that 16th place bubble out there, but you guys are going to get to decide this one out like you have in the past couple of years. 25 years underneath the lights that you guys are also promoting and thanking the fans out there this year. So many different things going on, but first I want to just start with the whole chasing areas that are going on. When we started this whole thing 25 weeks ago, we really didn't think that we'd have this many winners, and now here we are. We only just got a handful of spots open. Richmond is a tough track to get around sometimes, and you really just don't have a whole lot of time to get around it. 400 short laps around that short track out there. What is your prediction coming into the weekend? Who's going to be on that bubble? Who's not going to be able to get in? What do you think?
Well, I think the couple of things you have to look at here, you know, we always end up kind of being in this spot there and looking at kind of the races within the race. So there's so many different things that can happen here. And I think maybe probably best to start with Chris Buescher, who got a win at Pocono, who's on that bubble line or that cut line of, you know, needing to be inside the top 30 in points. So I think that's a good place to start there, because you got to keep your eye on him. You got to keep your eye on David Reagan, who's right behind him, who, you know, maybe could nudge him out and knock him out of 30th, which then all of a sudden would open up another spot for some of these guys on the bubble, like Jamie McMurray or Ryan Newman or Casey Kane. But ultimately for me, I kind of look at this as who can come in here and roll the dice and do something completely different than 39 other drivers and win this thing if you're not in the chase. So, you know, can A.J. Allmendinger or Eric Almirola just, you know, again, take a swing for the fence, throw a Hail Mary, whatever you want to use. Can one of them do that in this race? And I think they certainly can, but there's a lot of stiff competition out there.
And this year, 25 years underneath the lights, you also are promoting that as well as you're thanking the fans out this year. So many different things that you've got going on coming into this race weekend out there. Just two things coming together that is in your benefit. You know, also that you're allowing fans come down there on the track as always. It's just something that you guys do out there to just kind of thank the fans, you know, get them part of the celebration out there for the 16 drivers that are going to make it into the NASCAR Chase starting in Chicago the next week. You know, as you prepare and get ready for all of this, you know, the events that surround this, just talk a little bit about all of those and how you guys have prepared for this race, how this is for 25 years, a quarter century racing underneath the lights there in Richland International Raceway.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the cool aspects of this weekend is to be able to celebrate 25 years under lights. And then I think the other part that you hit on, the fan appreciation weekend, you know, I think all of our track promoters, week in and week out, I think we all do a tremendous job of saying thanks to the fans and interacting with the fans and engaging the fans in our own unique ways week in and week out. And that will never stop. But I think what we've done here is we've worked with the industry to put a brand around the weekend, Fan Appreciation Weekend, that really is kind of celebrates the end of the regular season and then gets everybody ready for the chase to the Sprint Cup, which are the 10 races after our race. You know, it's an awesome place to be on the NASCAR schedule, first and foremost. But, you know, last week you guys referenced, you know, I was down in Darlington for a quick trip. You guys were there. The big throwback weekend, and you've seen how the industry engages around that, and that celebrates our roots. Then you come to Richmond to close out the regular season, and we're celebrating the fans, and that's the heart and soul of the sport. And I feel so passionate about what we've done and what the industry's done to put this program together to say really two simple words. Thank you. I mean, how it doesn't get any easier than that, but those two words mean so much. And look, we can't do this without our fans. So we're happy to be able to be the place where we can celebrate the fans as an entire industry all together.
And obviously, this going to close. I know Richmond has a lot of events going on throughout the years, but the year, but this is really going to close out your race schedule for 2016. As you kind of cap that off for 2016 and you look forward to 2017, obviously NASCAR has really engaged the tracks and already given out in the schedule for next year. But as you start beginning to plan, as you start looking to the future, not only in 2017, but 2018 for the future of Richmond International Raceway, you guys did go to a day-night schedule here in 2016 for the first time in many, many years. I think it was, 19 years. Forgive me, I don't remember the exact amount of years, but it was like something like 18 or 19 years that it happened. You know, as you start looking towards the future, what is next on the plate for Richmond? What do you do next as far as, you know, building the brand of Richmond, looking towards the next opportunities for Richmond, and re-engaging fans that, obviously, we've seen that NASCAR has now allowing all children underneath of 12 to come into the Xfinity Series races for free. But, you know, that's something that Richmond had already pretty much been doing. But, you know, as you look to capitalize on some of these opportunities to re-engage fans or even bring new fans into the sport, what do you look for next year and beyond?
Well, I mean, I think that's a great question because I think, you know, we made a big change this year with the April race going from night to day. And I think, you know, we got to continue to build on that event now. It was basically like creating a brand new event. So we got to build on that event now. And, you know, really kind of the theme around that one was all about families and kids and generations coming to the racetrack. And that's what this sport was built on. And we're really going to, you know, push that hard to try to get more families and kids out to the racetrack. So, I mean, our focus will be on building that event. And then, obviously, with this one, the September race, I think, again, we are laying the foundation now for fan appreciation here in this inaugural year. The next piece will be, okay, what does year two look like? What does year three, what does year four look like? So it's an exciting time for us here in Richmond and for our staff to – we've made some big changes, but now we have something to build on. We've made it through, almost. We got to get through the next couple of days. But I think, you know, we really put ourselves in good position to build for the future. And you made a good point, too, about, you know, what are we doing to re-engage the fans? I think, you know, there's not one simple answer for that, but I think it's something that, as an entire industry, we're all going to continue to work on together. You know, I think we're fortunate here because we've been doing NASCAR racing for over 60 years, so that helps us. We know we've got a solid fan base here. Our core is really good. Our long-term, you know, and our renewal season ticket holders are really good. It's trying to win back some of those fans who have maybe stopped coming for a couple of years. And then, you know, the other part of it, too, is going out and trying to find those new fans in the next generation. So I think you put all those three kind of buckets together, and that's how you set your strategies going forward.
And my last question that I have for you is, just a couple of weeks ago that you brought on Mike Lindell out there. And for people that may not know, he comes out of Hickory, North Carolina, so he has a lot of racing. Kind of went into the college scene before he came back over into the NASCAR side of things. How is Mike and you guys starting to work together as far as, you know, the whole marketing side of Richmond International Raceway? And, you know, I know he has a lot of heritage within the sport itself, but, you know, as Mike and you begin to work together, I know it's just a few weeks in, but, you know, you guys are just starting to get your kind of feet wet together. How has it been so far, and what are you guys already looking forward to working together on in the near future?
Well, I think one of the things you hit on earlier, too, around that, and one of the things that Mike will be focused on, A, will be reengaging some fans, some lost fans. And then the other piece, too, is it's just our brand overall. And I think you guys, obviously, where you are, you know, near Talladega, you've seen Talladega kind of go through this. And you know, you talk to Grant and you talk about, you know, hearing those guys talk about getting their swagger back and everything. And, you know, that's so key. And for us, it's you know, it's about, you know, protecting the brand and really what can we do to elevate the brand here throughout the Mid-Atlantic, not just here in Central Virginia or over in Hampton Roads, you know, around Virginia Beach and Norfolk and everything. But it's really up and down the Mid-Atlantic region. So those are going to be some of his key focus areas. He is coming here after 25 years in college athletics, which I think brings a real kind of neat and fun perspective to the staff and to the team here in regards to marketing and selling tickets and the event experience as well. He's worked at some major colleges, from the University of Arkansas to the University of Illinois. He's been an athletic director. So, you know, he's been through the battles as well from a leadership standpoint. So I'm looking forward to getting him through his first weekend this weekend, and then really setting our path forward in 2017.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here. Dennis, I will be up there this weekend to cover the final race before we lock everything in. I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm going to hand you back over to Tim. I'm sure he's got a couple of questions, but again, I appreciate you taking the time tonight.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Make sure we bump into each other this weekend.
I sure will.
Thanks, Steve. And Dennis, I know your time is short, but I want to ask a couple of questions. Again, congratulations on being the final race to get into NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Chase, that's just awesome. We're going to try to come next year. Just want to talk a little bit about, if I can, I don't know if you can go there, SMI with Bruce Smith and them, you know. They brought in some tire dragging, put some resin, rosin down to try to move the groove around. And have you and NASCAR discussed maybe trying to do that up there, which I know we're coming back with what now is the low downforce coming back to Richmond, to try to, you know, make it more racy, more passion or anything. Have y'all done anything like that, Dennis?
We haven't. Leading into this race weekend, I know there's a lot of chatter out there regarding what happened in Bristol and what they did to the racetrack there. But no, I mean, we've not been approached from NASCAR on it or the drivers. I mean, we had a heck of a race in April, that's for sure. I know over the last couple years, Goodyear's tried a couple different tire combinations, but you know, I think, you know, leading into this race, we haven't done anything. We'll see if there are any discussions that come up coming out of the race as we head into 2017. But right now, no, everything's pretty status quo.
Okay, 10-4, Dennis. And can you throw out there, is there any special packages as far as for kids 12 and under, like, which I know that come out of NASCAR, kids 12 and under or free for something or whatever. But as far as the military packages and your pre-race pit road packages.
Yeah, you can go to RIR.com. We got a lot of really cool packages out there. You know, our military hospitality package is sold out, but we still have a military deal, $19 for the cup race with your military ID, so for active or retired. Same with a college student discount, same thing, $19 with your student ID, and you can buy those right online at RIR.com. You know, again, we got to, you know, I think for us, it's all been for all of us, you know, who are out here trying to promote these races. It's trying to introduce a lot of people to the sport. But those are two really, really good programs that we have. And then we have a lot of other fan hospitality options as well that are available on our website.
That sounds good. And, you know, which I can talk to you all night, but I don't want to, because I got a good friend of mine, I've met him just a couple of weeks ago. His name is Dylan. He has cerebral palsy. Mr. Jeremy Bonkowski has introduced me to him, and he started calling into the show. He wants to work in NASCAR one day. But if I can, I want to bring him on. If you got just a few minutes to maybe answer some of his questions, is that okay?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, so it's a little bit hard to hear you, but I'll do my best.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
It's a little broken up, but I'm doing my best.
All right, thank you. Just hold on right there, Stephen. You might have to jump in. I want to bring Dylan in the pit stop.
Okay.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Dylan, how are you doing tonight? I'm going to finish up. Tim, explaining to Stephen Wilson and President of Richmond International Raceway, Mr. Dennis Bickmeyer. Do you have any questions for him?
Hey, Tim. It's great to be back on the show. I really appreciate you having me on again. Hey, Dennis, it's a great pleasure to meet you. I've been a huge fan of NASCAR since I was about 5 years old, and keep doing what you've been doing at Richmond, and just keep it up.
Well, thank you, and thanks for being a fan. We really appreciate that. And
my pleasure.
And, yeah, well, I mean, like we said all the time, just like this fan appreciation program, this is all about celebrating our fans and saying thank you. I mean, again, two simple words, thank you, but they mean so much.
Absolutely.
Do you have any more questions for Dennis Bickmeyer?
Dennis, I do graphic designs for the whole sport of NASCAR, but I do my designs for fun. If you want to see them, I can upload them to you. I can send them a message and tell you what you think of them.
Well, great. Do you got a website I can go check them out on?
I don't have a website yet. I'm still working on that details.
Gotcha. Well, we'd you get that thing up and running, we'd love to check them out.
And one more thing, if you see Jeff Gordon, tell him I say hi. He knows who I am. I met Jeff last year at Chicagoland Speedway, and this year I may go back to Chicagoland if I can get down there. But if you see Jeff, tell him I say hi. He knows who I am.
I will do that. I appreciate that. I love hearing those stories too, you know, about our fans and their favorite drivers. So, yeah, thank you. It's good to see Jeff back in the car. I just wish it was under different circumstances, and I wish
Right.
Dale was out there. But it's got to be all for the right reasons, and we got to make sure he can get healthy.
Absolutely. Only time will tell, and who knows? Dale and Junior will be back in the race car next year, hopefully, if things will turn out.
Dylan, I appreciate you, but I'm going to put this on mute. Let's finish. We got to let Dennis get out of here. That was my good friend, Dylan there, Jerry Bonkowski from NBC Sports. He wants to talk some radio, Dennis, so we're trying to hit him out. And I know you're trying to listen. Dennis, let everybody know what all you got going on this weekend up there at Richmond International, all the good package deals. Steve and I, we're gonna read off the start times and everything later, but just throw everything out there. Let them know about the traffic. If if you can, the best way in and out, Dennis, you got the floor.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I think go to RIR.com. It's our really great website. A lot of good information out there. So we're posting a lot of news, a lot of video, a lot of content about what's going on this weekend around fan appreciation. But as you guys mentioned, a lot of good packages on there as well. So love to get a lot of the fans out here having a good time. You know, the other piece of this too that you know, all of our tracks do a good job of, you know, free parking, bring your own food and beverage in. You know, you just don't get that in other sports, and I think that's what makes NASCAR so unique and you know, part of why we love it so much. So come on out and see the end of the regular season, and let's see who the final 16 drivers on and or are to go on and have a chance to win a Sprint Cup Series championship.
That sounds good, Dennis. And
well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right. That was Dennis Bickmeyer, Richmond International Raceway. Stephen, where you at, son? You in the house?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. That was Dennis Bickmeyer, president of Richmond International Raceway. We got a lot to talk about, Stephen, because I started talking about the Cups, about the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. You want to go into the Xfinity Series, and then we'll jump on over in the Truck Series, and then we'll give our upcoming predictions of the chase. I know NASCAR released their press release earlier today about the chase scenarios, and we can read them off and probably talk about that about 4 hours, but we only got a little bit over an hour. But if you want to take the Xfinity Series, but go with what you got the floor.
I didn't pull anything for the Xfinity Series, but out for that.
Okay, you want me to just we can go through Elliott Sander won it. We can go through there and we can play a little bit of the media center deal there from Darlington, and then we'll jump on over in the Cup. I'll let you have a Cup. So let's listen to a little bit about the race winner, Elliott Sander from Darlington Raceway. Let's find a butt. Hold on.
If I can have your attention here in the media center, we'll continue on with today's post-race media availability for the 34th annual VFW Sport Clips Help a Hero 200 here at Darlington Raceway. We're joined by our race-winning team. We're joined by Elliott Sadler, driver of the number one one-main Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports, and crew chief Kevin Mindring. This was Elliott's second victory and 21st top 10 finish in 2016. It's his first victory and sixth top 10 finish in 13 races at Darlington Raceway, and he adds a lot of momentum heading into the NASCAR Xfinity Series chase. Elliott, just describe that final battle out there. That was something to behold on TV. What was it like for you from your perspective?
It was a great battle. And but before I talk about that, I was having a conversation with one of my media friends before the race today, and I was like, you know, I sure do miss you guys. I haven't been in the media center forever. I'd only been asked to go there one time. It was after Talladega. I should have missed seeing you guys. And he said, well, you know how to fix that, don't you? Win the race. I said, all right, we'll try to do that. So, anyway, I was kind of thinking about that down maybe a couple laps ago. It's probably why I hit the wall. But it was definitely a great race. Kevin and the guys brought me a really fast race car. And we were able to stay in the top two or three all day long. And anytime you can beat somebody like Denny Hamlin here, who's very exceptional at this racetrack, to hold off for a win is very special. It's a lot of cool things going on this weekend with our paint scheme, and all that was going through my head the last 10 or 12 laps. But I think being out front in clean air really helped for us to curve this thing to victory lane.
Kevin, how confident were you in your race car and your driver during that final battle?
Well, yeah, man. We had a great race car all day long, and Elliott did an awesome job keeping us up in the top three. We had a really good restart that last time, and I knew once we had clean air, it was in our hands. He did an awesome job just racing the racetrack all day, staying out of trouble to the very end. And we were able to bring it home.
Good deal. We'll open the floor up for questions. If you have a question for Elliott, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start up with Pete, then go to Jim, and then to Bob. Get Pete a microphone, please.
Pete Iacobelli, Associated Press. Elliott, you mentioned it a bunch in the post interviews, but how much do you really think this means to Junior, given what he's gone through this weekend?
I think it means a lot. And, you know, he called me while I was in Victory Lane, and to hear his voice in jubilation and yelling and screaming and saying a lot of the cool things he likes to say, I can't really repeat right now. But he and I have a special relationship and have for a long time, and we've been staying in touch a lot, you know, over the last month. And Kevin and I talk about it right much because Kevin had been with Dale for a long time over at Hendrick. So to see him going what he's going through, I know it's frustrating to him to not, I mean, look, he's a real race car driver, guys. I mean, he's a true grit, blue-collar guy, just like I told y'all on Tuesday. He's one of the good guys. And to see him have to take a step back, I think it's really tough on him. But to see him handling it the way he is means a lot to me as a driver, but also as a friend. And he's given me a great opportunity to drive his cars this year. And I think he 100% pays attention to what we do and how good we run. And I think maybe he can feed some of his excitement through us. You know, since he's not in a race car, to hear him talking on the telephone today, it's neat to hear that excitement in his voice and give him something to be proud of, give him something to cheer about when he's had, you know, so much bad news as far as him being able to race. This has got to be good for him. So I am very honored and humbled to be able to win for him after what happened this week.
We'll go next to Jim and then to Bob and then back into the back to Tucker.
Jim Mutter, Motorsport.com. Same kind of question, except what does it mean for you, a guy who a month ago didn't know what your future held and now after today's win in an excellent position to win a series championship?
Yeah, I mean, a month ago, you know, I've been through a lot of ups and downs lately, and I've shared that a lot with Kevin, who has been, you know, a rock through this whole thing and somebody I could lean on when we had some good weeks when things looked good and when we had some bad weeks when it looked like I might not be in a race car much longer. I just say to be able to come here with this paint scheme, and I want people to really understand my relationship with One Main as a sponsor. They came in here and sponsored me and Dale Jarrett both. They've been in this series for over a decade as a primary sponsor, the longest-running sponsor in this series there is. They love this sport, and I think once the new executives came in and kind of understood what's going on and really liked the way we were running on the track as well, kind of reconsidered all of it. And once they looked at everything, they kind of saw what they can get out of this sport and how loyal NASCAR fans are. And what that means to me, it just gives me comfort. Man, I got a lot of stability now. I'm going to be here a couple more years. I love this race team. We don't have to ask each other what's going to happen or what if. We know what's going to happen, you know, the next 36 months. Now we can just go out and race hard and try to win a championship. But to say the last month has not been emotional it would be a pretty good lie. It's been very emotional with my career as well as with my mom being so sick, not sure if she was going to make it or not. So it was a lot of things that's gone on this last month that has made me really truly appreciate somebody like Kevin and his race team and also somebody like One Main Financial and those guys taking a chance on us and investing back in the sport. It means a lot, Jim.
Go to Bob, then to Tucker, and then over to your left to Chris.
Bob Pocker, ESPN. Elliot, when they line up by points, I think everybody at first thinks, oh, Elliot's on the pole, he's the points leader, and then of course, you start but third because it's by owner points. When you see that, does it kind of tick you off at all, and is that any more extra motivation?
No, I mean, you know, I've been racing long enough to know that they line up by points, and I'm good with that. I'm just proud of us for being third and being close to where we need to be in the points. I think race teams work very hard to get themselves in position to be leading the points and try to win the owner's championship. So kudos to the two car, Richard Childress Racing, those guys for leading the points. They get the start on the pole. So I'm fine with that. That's okay. Because I knew who I felt like starting third was a good position. So I was fine with that. I'm used to it. So, no, it didn't tick me off, Bob.
Okay, we're going to go to Tucker, then to Chris, then to Mike Neff.
Tucker White, SpeedwayMedia.com. This question is for the both of you. Given that your stablemate Kevin Harvick went out early in the race with engine issues, was there ever concern at any point in the race that the same issue an issue similar to that could affect you guys at all?
Well, we really just didn't tell Elliot about that, so he didn't have to worry about it. But no, we have Hendrick Motorsports gives us great engines every week, and every now and then you'll have a part failure or something, and
we knew having their engines, it's not really something we have to worry about.
See, Kevin's smart. He don't tell me much. That way I don't worry about it. I don't overthink it.
Okay, we'll go Chris.
ChrisNightCatchFence.com. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
Next week you go to Richmond International Raceway, your hometown track, but you get to go as the most recent winner in the Xfinity Series. How does that feel and sound? And then also, how do you feel with the chase getting closer?
Chris, I tell you what, I was just up in Richmond this week doing some ride and drive stuff for a lot of people from the Virginia 529 College deal, and a lot of the Richmond media was in there, and we're talking about racing at home, because it is. It's home to me. I get to stay in my own house. My wife and kids get to come, and a lot of family and friends. That's a very special track to me, and I would love to win there more than anywhere. It's neat to be able to come in there with the momentum that we have. So we're going to go there and try to do the best job we can. Anytime you're coming off a win, it's great momentum. And the chase, look, you guys know as well as I do, it's all about momentum in the chase, peaking at the right time. So I think for Kevin and us to be on the same page, kind of finishing each other's sentences right now, to be honest with you, we're all clicking on full cylinders right now. And to be running this good at this particular time, I think says a lot for our chase, chances. So to bring a car here to Darlington and unload it and be as fast as we were, and we feel really, really comfortable going to Chicago and Kentucky and, of course, next weekend to Richmond. So I would say we got a lot of momentum on our side right now.
Do you think the consistency that you guys have performed this season is setting the bar for what would be expected in the chase?
Well, I think the consistency is going to get us to Homestead. Then I think we're going to have to do what we did today at Homestead, in my opinion. But Kevin and those guys are making great calls. We're having amazing pit stops. We're finishing where we should be finishing. It's not like we're running up front and having bad finishes. We're making the most of it week in and week out. And if we can do that throughout the chase, we're going to be in the position that we want to be in.
The mic and then the dust. Mike Neff from FrontStretch.com. Elliot, the last couple laps, Denny was pretty far back from you, and they made a couple bonsai attempts at sliders in turn three. But, I mean, you're a racer. You knew he was at a ridiculous angle to try to make that corner. How difficult was it for you not to push it that extra couple feet to make sure you stayed in front of him and let him run out his own distance?
Yeah, I had to just stay on the outside of him and keep him pinned down. And, look, Denny's anybody that knows anything about Darlington Speedway, he's a great race car driver here, but he's a clean race car driver. And he and I have had nothing but great races with each other. So when I hit the wall off two and he got such a great run, I knew I had to run it really hard into three and keep him under me. If he ever passed me, it was over with. So I just had to run it in three on top of him and try to hold him down and get back in front of him. But that's all because we were in the lead. We had clean air and we could stay up front. I was able to kind of cover up a big mistake that I made off two. Thank you.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. After the burnout, when you got out of the car, you stood up on the car, and you held your head in your hand in a certainly a display of emotion we haven't always seen. I know you've talked about all the things, but is there anything in particular that was running through your mind at that point?
Well, I mean, to try to be candid with you, I mean, a month ago, I was retired. I mean, really. I mean, I didn't really know what else I was going to do in a race car if we had that opportunity. I wanted to keep racing, but you're never guaranteed anything in this sport. So to go from maybe being retired to winning a race at Darlington, a place that I came here as a kid to watch, is a pretty doggone lot of emotions. And I know what my team, Kevin and my team, put into this car to come to Darlington. My wife and kids are here with me. My mom has been through a lot in ICU the last couple of weeks. And so you put all that together, yeah, I could say I was pretty emotional. I'm still a kid at heart, man. I know y'all rag me for being 41 years old, man, but I'm still a kid at heart and still love this sport. And it still takes me to the top rung of the ladder, and then the next week I'm down and out. I still ride the roller coaster with any of them. So it's been a special week. And to win here at Darlington, guys, because I've thrown too many races here away and almost threw this one away again today, it was special.
From Dale,
yeah.
You said you couldn't say what he said on TV. Can you say it here?
I don't think so. I don't think I Hey, any cool, exciting four-letter word that you can think of at the top of your lung, hey, y'all know him just like I do. It's he's not shy about showing a lot of excitement, and I think he's, he's our biggest fan, to be honest with you. He I think he's Kevin's biggest fan, especially when he, you know, when this all came together, he was going to put us together. And I think he's been my biggest fan from where I've been the last couple of years to now. So I just think him showing that excitement, you know, over the phone this week, he needs something to cheer about. And we were able to give that to him today. Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Your discretion is advised. Any additional questions for the winning team? We'll go over here to Deb.
Deb Williams, racetoday.com. Congratulations, Elliot. You, is your mother out of the woods now? And also, what was the softball championship you coached to?
So, my mom is getting better. She still has to have another surgery. She has to have another surgery here in a couple of weeks. But she is getting better. She's back at home. We check on her daily, many times a day. My wife has been amazing keeping up with her, especially with me traveling on the road all the time. So she is, from the Sunday after Watkins Glen for me till now, she's went from maybe not having her anymore till now. Is she's come a long way. So that's been pretty emotional. Softball championship, if you guys know me well enough, I play a ton of softball. Well, this is the first year I've coached a women's softball team. And we won in a walk-off home run Thursday night to win the championship. We beat a team that they hadn't lost a championship in 11 years, and we were able to beat them. And my wife was on that team as well. So pretty amazing. I got a heck of a Gatorade shower Thursday night, and I got another one today. I've got two Gatorade showers in 3 days. So I've had one heck of a week, to say the least. Yeah, slow pitch. No, you throw it too fast, nobody can hit it. You got to pitch it slow. Yeah, state for where we come from. Yeah, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Well, Elliot, thank you for taking the time to come in. Congratulations again, gentlemen, and good luck next week.
Thank y'all for having me in here today, guys, and have fun tomorrow for the throwback Darlington race. I'm looking forward to it just like you guys are. Thank you.
If I can have your attention here in the media center.
Stephen, that was Elliot Stadler in the media center for the Darlington race. We got three one race there. Can you talk a little bit about the chase scenarios and exit Indy Series? I don't want to put you on the spot because I know you and I have the chase scenarios for the Cup Series. You want to Richmond International next weekend.
You're breaking up kind of bad. I think you said something about the NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship.
Yeah, that's right. Can you talk a little bit about the win of the chase for the Xfinity Series?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So NASCAR in 2016 has gone into a chase just like the Sprint Cup Series had. Their chase will start in Kentucky. It'll be Kentucky, Dover, and Charlotte will be the first round. They'll have 12 in that first one. Right now, the way that fits out, Eric Jones, Sadler, Suarez, Allgaier, Ty Dillon gone, Brendan Poole, Brandon Jones, Darrell Wallace Jr., Ryan Reed, Blake Cook, and Ryan Sieg, who is sitting right there on that bubble. So that'll be current. That is currently the way that the chase is sitting going into it right now. You know, that's going forward. You know, they'll have a round of eight, which will start after that. Just like in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, a win will take you over into the next round. Coming into Homestead, there'll be four drivers, just as they are in the Sprint Cup Series. However, the caveat to this is that the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series in Homestead, Miami, there will be no NASCAR Sprint Cup Series drivers allowed to race and enter into that championship event at Homestead. So NASCAR is barring all Sprint Cup Series drivers from that event at Homestead this year. So there will be, the deal will be totally made up of NASCAR Xfinity Series regulars there as they go and they fight for their championship both in the Xfinity and the Camping World Truck Series.
And let's go into the Chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Clinch scenario for Richmond International Speedway. I'll take the top three here, and I'll let you have the other three. The clinch for the next race is sorted by wins and points at Richmond possible to clinch. Number one, Chris Buescher has one win, 358 points. He's plus 11 points ahead of the 31st. Would clinch a top 30 spot on his own with 34 points. Seventh and no laps led. Eighth and lead at least one lap. Ninth and lead most laps, which would clinch him a spot in the chase. And we come down to Chase Elliott. He has no wins. 659 points. He's 312 points to the good ahead of 31st place. Would clinch on points with 24 points. 17th and no laps led. 18th and lead at least one lap. 19th and lead most laps. If there's a new winner, if there is a repeat winner or a new winner, and Chris Buescher falls out of the top 30 and 17 points, 24th and no laps led, 25th and lead at least one lap, 26th and lead most laps. If there is a repeat winner and Chris Buescher falls out of the top 30, he clinches on points regardless of finish. With a win, he would clinch a chase spot on wins to run for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship. And now we go to Austin Dillon. Austin has no wins. 651 points plus 304 to the good ahead of 31st. Would clinch on points with 33 points. 8th and no laps led. 9th and lead at least one lap. 10th and lead most laps. And a new winner. If there is a repeat winner or win by Chase Elliott or a new winner and Chris Buescher falls out of the top 30 and Dillon would clinch with 26 points. Hang with us, listeners. I know it's confusing. We'll try to repeat it. 15th, no laps led. 16th and lead at least one lap. 17th and lead most laps. If there is a repeat winner and Chris Buescher falls out of the top 30, he would clinch on points regardless of finish. With a win, they would clinch a chase spot on wins. All right, that's that spot, Steven. I'm sure it confuses me too, but it sort of clicked there a little bit. You want to start with Jamie McMurray and go on down?
Yeah, with Jamie McMurray, he has 0 points. He has 0 wins, 642 in points, and he's 295 ahead. He would clinch on points if there's a repeat winner or a win by Elliott, Dillon, or a new winner. And Chris Buescher falls out of the top 30 and 35th in points. Sixth and no laps led, seventh and led a lap, eighth and led the most laps. If there's a repeat winner and Chris Buescher falls out of the top 30, McMurray would clinch on points regardless of the finish. With a win, he would clinch to chase a spot on wins, obviously, but he could clinch on points with a new winner and help. Cannot lose more than 6 points to Newman, as Newman would win the tiebreaker over Jamie McMurray. Ryan Newman, he's 0 wins, 635 points, 288 ahead. With a win, he'd win. He'd clinch a spot. He'd clinch on points with help, provided there's a new winner or if there's a repeat winner or a win by one by McMurray. If he has 7 or more points, Dillon by 17 or more points, or Elliott with 25 or more points. If there's a repeat winner or a winner by Elliott, Dillon, or McMurray, and Buescher falls out of the top 30, he'll need 5 points, 36 and no laps led, 37th and led at least one lap, and 38th and led the most laps to clinch all points. Case Kane, he's the one sitting in 16th. He's right there in that bubble. 0 wins, 598 in points, and 251 ahead of 31st. He would need to win to get in. He could clinch on points with a repeat winner or win by Elliott, Dillon, or McMurray, and Buescher falling out. He would have to outpoint Newman by 37th if he finishes third or higher, or by 38 points. Now, for a few of them that are hanging out right outside the top 16, Blading, A.J. Allmendinger, Bain, Stenhouse, Menard, Biffle, Patrick, Almirola, Bowyer, Mears, and Castle. They all need a win in order to get in.
Which is 30th in points. 11 points behind 30th, I'm sorry. And then Reagan Smith, which is 28 points behind 30th. And you throw them two in the scenario. If one of them wins, and if something happens to Chris Buescher, I mean, Steve, when we talk about this on, we might as well just post this on your side, post it on our side, where all our listeners can actually see it, read it, and look at it. But we just wanted to throw that out there. I mean, it's a lot going on, and there's a lot of mathematical things going on that are good for him. Mike Ford at NASCAR Stats, I'm sure he's, you know, this was his deal, this was his baby. And he does a really great job about letting us know this and that and this and that. But you have to just really sit down and look, because there's so many scenarios, even that can happen going into Richmond this weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen in Richmond. Richmond's one of those tracks that, people can dominate there. Obviously, we can talk about a few drivers that have been known to dominate at Richmond over the past couple of years. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what goes on at Richmond this weekend with the few drivers that are that will be around to try to make this thing in. And you know, the drivers that are going to try and make themselves in, they're going to have to work themselves up early. They're not going to be able to lay back. They're not going to be able to ride around for 200 or 300 laps and wait for the final 100 laps. They're going to have to race the race. They're going to have to race the track. They're going to have to race early. They're going to have to race hard, and they're going to have to race the entire race.
Yep. And, Stephen, I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to give a big shout-out to Dennis there at Richmond National Raceway for taking his time to call in. My good friend Dylan, he called in and asked Dennis some good questions there. And, Stephen, let everybody know if they can follow you at. You and AM are going to Richmond International to cover the last race before the chase this weekend at Richmond. Let everybody know if they can follow you on social media and everything, but on your website.
Well, before we do that, I'll give you the schedule real quick before we do that, and then I'll get you into.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. I forgot about that. I got it up to you. Go ahead, bud. Tell it.
Not a problem. Friday afternoon, NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying out there at 4:15 Eastern, which could be immediately followed at 5:45 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series qualifying at Richmond International Raceway. NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 250 laps, 187.5 miles out there for Friday night action from Richmond International. Then on Saturday night, 400 laps, 300 miles, 7:30 p.m., 25 races, and we got one to go. 16 drivers will make themselves into the NASCAR chase after we finish out at Richmond with 400 laps out there. You guys can follow us at Speedway Digest on Twitter, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com.
Stephen, thank you again. We had a blast at Darlington. Enjoyed seeing y'all again until 8 a.m. and the kids will say hello, and y'all be safe going to RIR. And we will talk to you next Tuesday night live from Talladega. But y'all be safe, Stephen.
Safe.
All right, that was Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com, headed out to Richmond. Going to cover the final race before the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series chase. You can follow him at speedwaydigest.com on his website. You can also follow me on Twitter at TD Lyman and at Pit Stop Radio. And at this time, we want to say good night from Talladega, Alabama.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be.
I've never seen before.
This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The chase for the NASCAR Spring Cup returns October 21st through 23rd. Call 1-877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.